And welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Hope everybody is doing well. We got a lot to get to on the program here today. Joe Rex Road, how we doing? What's going on?
I'm doing better today. Thanks for asking.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you know, yesterday I thought I had the flu, and then I went home and I was really feeling terrible, and then I started looking at the internet because I cut my hand open on a plate. And I was like, oh, my God, it was a ceramic plate, and it's in my bloodstream, and I have lead poisoning, and I'm going to die. And then Katie was like, yeah, dude, stop looking at the internet. Shut up.
WebMD?
Yeah, whatever. I just Googled it. Yeah. So, but whatever. I had a little fever, but it broke. So as long as I didn't get you guys sick yesterday, I think we're okay.
I feel fine at the moment.
Good.
That's good.
All right.
Nick?
Well, we'll see how it goes. Okay?
No fever for me.
That's good.
Thanks, Joe.
I mean, you're at least isolated in that other room.
So you are.
That's true.
I wasn't as worried about you.
How about those Buffalo Bills? 5-5 after the loss last night. So Will Lutz, who we talked about in the preseason, may be a target for the Titans to kick field goals. They end up with Nick Folk, and that's worked out pretty well. Misses a field goal for the Broncos, and Buffalo has 12 men on the field. So they get to kick the field goal again, and they win 24-22 last night on the road at Buffalo. So first off, I think, is that three wins in a row for the Broncos? I believe it is. They're now 4-5. And Buffalo has dropped to 5-5. And not only has Buffalo dropped to 5-5, listen to their next few games. They got the Jets, which we'll see. Then the Eagles, the Chiefs, the Cowboys, and the Chargers right all after that. That's a heck of a run that they've got coming up. They might miss playoffs.
Yeah, no, it's wild. They have. I was listening to unsportsmanlike. They have 18 turnovers at this point in 10 games.
Yep.
Just about giving it away. Twice a game. So it's pretty amazing the turnover issues they have, and like how the heck do you have 12 men on the field on that
point? I don't know.
That's all time bad. But I do want to. I do want to. You know, if you're a Bills fan, I feel bad for you. But I want you to know that in the Titans Media League, where I have the best team, where I'm 8-2, I beat Kaharski by like 0.3 of a point last night. It was Dalton Kincaid or no one, and I pulled it out. So I'm going to gloat this week too.
You should.
I'm
sure he's very upset about that too, which makes it even better.
Right. He's going to pretend like he didn't notice. But if he would have won, I'd already have 4 texts on my phone from him. So, yes.
Look, I love Josh Allen. Obviously, I think 90%, maybe a little bit higher than that, of teams around the league would take him as your quarterback. Can we please stop putting him with Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow? I thought this before.
Well, now I agree.
He was never with Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow.
Like, I think back, though.
Like, at some point, don't you have to actually do something in the playoffs to
do
that?
Yeah, but I mean, like, I think back to that playoff game where he was astoundingly good, and it was not his fault that somehow his defense
Correct.
Let Mahomes go. You know what I mean? Like that drive before that was like, oh, he is one of those dudes. Like, that moment, I'm like, yep, he's one of those dudes.
He's a really good quarterback. He ain't those two.
Yeah. No, I can't disagree. I mean, it's looking more and more like he sort of had this. And again, we talked about it last year, right? I mean, how much of a loss was Daboll for him? I mean, I know that this year's not going well for him either, but all of a sudden, like, they have a dude who was terrible, who was good, and then Josh Allen seemed to, like, fall off the table last year, right?
Like, just the turnovers are really weird.
Yeah.
Like, he threw – well, look, I mean, look, he had Daboll in 2021. He threw 15 picks, so it's not like it's new. Like, he threw 15 picks that year. He threw 14 last year. He's already at 9 this year. He fumbles. I mean, he had another fumble last night. He's a turnover machine. He's a good player, obviously. Like, he can make some throws and make some plays that are elite level. There's no question about that. But he turns the ball over more than anybody in the NFL.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
For sure. No, and it's just – and last year really got him because he had some, especially in key moments. That's surprising to me that you say he had more picks the year before last season. Last season they were more like costly, right? But it's just a couple times a game he'll just make a decision. You're like, how could you possibly have made that decision? And at this point, That shouldn't be the case. Now, look, you know who else did that? Brett Favre.
Yeah,
as you know. I mean, Brett Favre was the same way. Brett Favre overcame it better, you know, and more consistently with, you know, excellent play than Josh. I mean, I'm looking at this, you know, you're still talking, let's see. Yeah, like, you know, 4,500 yards, 37 touchdowns, 10 picks,
great player.
20. Yeah. But, no, you're right. I mean, look, you can't put him – you cannot put him with the absolute best of the best, you know, anymore. And it's that whole – I mean, I thought they had – obviously, I thought they were going to win it all and win every game last year. I still thought they were absolutely contender to win it all this year. And they're up there among the most disappointing teams in the league for sure.
McDermott. That seat's getting hot. I mean, certainly if they miss the playoffs, like I thought if they got to the playoffs this year and didn't do anything, like he would probably be in trouble. But certainly if they miss the playoffs, he's going to be gone. Like he will be fired over that.
Yeah.
And I think he's a good coach. I think he's obviously done a good job. But at some point with the roster that you've been given and the team that you have, you have to do something with it. And I think they've arrived at that point.
Yeah, I mean, no, he took them over when they were crap. But,
sure,
but yes, I mean they've turned into a, and you know what, I'm trying to think. So last year in the postseason, did they win a postseason game last year?
They beat Miami, yeah, who did not have Tua, and they almost lost to them.
They destroyed, yeah, or they didn't. Okay, so that was a good game. Then they lost to the Bengals.
Yes,
lost at home to the Bengals, right? Yeah,
yes,
that's right. Yeah, so, I mean, still, you know, I mean, even last year. You're talking 13 wins, but no, I'm with you. McDermott should be in trouble, and that's a big disappointment. They just, you know, they've been that team that's right on the cusp, going for it, and now they're starting to fade. And you're seeing basically the AFC right now. I mean, it's Kansas City and everybody else at this point, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I thought Cincinnati was starting to come on, and they lose to Houston over the weekend.
I still think the Ravens would be my number two, even though they completely blew that game to the Browns.
But, yeah, it's Kansas City, which I'm sure people are just love. Yes, it's Kansas City and everyone else right now.
That's what it is. They actually have an excellent defense. Real quick, just to have this out there officially, it's very important. Fred O'Banion, that's my team name. That's from Days Confused. 128.65 points. Nash Vegas displaced Yanks. That's Carsey's stupid team name. 128.25. Beat him by 0.4.
It's a tough one.
Life is beautiful.
Sorry, Paul. Michael on the text line says, Mike Vrabel for Stephon Diggs and a first. Who says no? It's from Michael and Madison.
There you go.
On the text line.
How many teams would like to trade for Mike Vrabel? You see, get a bunch of different teams. I mean, that's never happened as far as I know. We've seen coaches have been traded, but a bidding war for a coach?
I don't know.
I've never seen it.
Now we got a texter that says if the Bills coach gets fired, Titans should go get it.
There's that. Sure.
You guys take Vrabel. We'll trade him to you, and we'll take McDermott.
What percentage of Titans fans would approve, would want that, would want Sean McDermott over Mike Vrabel?
I don't know.
I mean, some.
I'm sure
some.
Some are
totally out of – some would take, Sean – trying to think like
– Sean Penn?
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Trying to think of another famous Sean over Mike Vrabel. Thank you.
You're welcome. Like, the coaches in the hot seat. So, I think McDermott is feeling it a little bit. Obviously, Staley. Belichick. Who else is on the hot seat right now? Rivera in Washington? It's an interesting time.
Yeah, that's probably true. And there's been a lot of Commanders trading for Belichick stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I guess it's like you go do a three-way trade. The Patriots get draft capital from Washington and then flip that to the Titans for Vrabel.
Maybe so.
And Rivera comes here. He's a good coach.
Riverboat Ron.
Yeah.
In Titans blue, baby. Could be.
Make it happen.
Ben says, oh boy, here we go. Start the campaigning. McDermott to replace Vrabel after the Patriots trade. LOL, we love it. Hey.
Yeah, let's just create an
entire story today.
Yeah, entire
the program.
Fake world.
Skyler says, just about to be okay with just a coach swap. Forget the trade. Don't want the picks. Just swap the coaches.
With McDermott?
McDermott and Vrabel.
Yeah.
It'd be a tough one.
Yeah.
Be a tough one for Robert
Kraft. I mean, look. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Bob. We're going to coach the Bills now.
Yeah. I do. I mean, look, I think McDermott's pretty good. I know that's funny because the complaints about him from Bills fans are similar to some people here, which is like, you know,
yeah,
quit, you know, join the, you know, join the 21st century. It's weird though because they actually don't run the ball other than with their quarterback.
Right,
they throw all the time. But it's still like this, you know, defense first coach, you know, needs somebody who is an offensive coach, it's, you know, especially when your quarterback's struggling like this. I get it.
Right now, what Sean McDermott needs is to, like, have a quarterback not throw interceptions. That's what he needs. If the quarterback does that, I think he'll be fine. I think they'll probably win some games.
I would say so, yeah. Yeah, you just don't give the other team the ball.
Stop handing the ball to the other team.
Now, granted,
okay.
Now they're running the ball and they're fumbling too.
That's
so
true.
So, you know. What a mess. I saw Tim Graham, our, you know, friend of the show in Buffalo for The Athletic, he retweeted it. It was like, we're going to have a fans-only meeting now, some Bills Mafia thing. So,
at least like it's not an only
a fans-only meeting.
Yes.
That's speaking of Kaharski.
We're off and running this morning on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be joined by Ben McKee coming up at 6:30. We'll get into the Tennessee Vols with him. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean joining us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things Titans with him. So a lot to get to on the program today. We'll take your thoughts all show long. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, there was a really interesting conversation on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace yesterday that I want to get Joe's thoughts on next. We'll do that. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning, live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Joe, I was listening to Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace yesterday, and Willie brought up something interesting that I think is worth discussing. And we've talked about this last season, like last offseason more specifically, heading into this year, of the idea of a rebuild for the Titans. And would Mike Vrabel have any appetite towards that? Like, would there be any desire for Mike Vrabel to go through a rebuild? And he doesn't really seem like the type of guy that gets excited about a rebuild and all those things. The Titans are headed for one, whether they want to be in one or not. I think we've kind of learned that through nine games to this point. They're 3-6. They've made the switch at quarterback. The roster has a ton of holes in it, as we've identified. And there's a pretty hefty roster overhaul that needs to be done here if the Titans are going to get back to being competitive in the AFC. Now, the question is, how long is that going to take? Is it going to be one off season, two off seasons, three? Like, what's that going to look like for the Titans? But it's going to require lots of moves to be made and lots of draft capital and money to be spent by the Titans. So my definition, that's a rebuild. There's a rebuild coming up for the Titans in some form or fashion. Does Mike Vrabel want to be here for that? Does he want to be here for a rebuild, knowing that maybe even next year's team, it's going to be really difficult for the Titans to go from whatever they end up being this year, which is not going to be very good, to in one offseason back to being a Super Bowl contender next season. So what do you make of that idea of Vrabel as he's looking around? Does the idea of what he's got in front of him with this roster maybe say, you know, I don't know that I want to do this. This doesn't sound very fun to me.
Well, if that were the case, then Mike Vrabel's soft, and I don't think he's soft. I think if you're realistic about things, and look, Vrabel, I guess, kind of did have a charmed NFL life as a player. I mean, you know, the three organizations he played for are all great organizations, right? Obviously, yep. The Patriots, especially during his time there, and, you know, Steelers and Chiefs. But, I mean, if you're going to be a coach in this league for any duration, you have to know that it's a cyclical league. It's built that way. It's built to be that way. So you have to know that you're going to be part of that. And he won't enjoy it, but I don't think it's like – I guess it's always possible someone like Mike Vrabel, different than – most coaches in this league, if not all the other coaches in this league, except maybe the ones who have coached to such success that they have a lot of money now. But, I mean, he could hang it up any time. Just be like, yeah, I'm good, and go golf, you know. But I don't think he'll enjoy it, but I don't think it's going to be something that scares him away. And, look, if you're – not that it's even his call on, like, this Patriots fantasy that we like to talk about, which, again, I'm not really not dismissing that as something that could could materialize sure. As a conversation from Robert Kraft calling Amy Adams Strunk. But if you're him, which rebuild looks better? At least here, you right now, early, but right now, you got to feel better about, I would think, about Will Levis than you do about Mac Jones, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now, granted, you know, those guys are probably going to get their next quarterback in the next draft. And I guess unless they trade the pick to the Titans. So Vrabel gets screwed over by the draft pick that comes back here, then he has to go over there with no quarterback.
Yeah. You
know? But look, it's fair to bring up. It's not going to be enjoyable. I mean, it's amazing to think about a team being a one seed 2 years ago, and now they won't be the last place team in the AFC, but they got a chance to be second to last. That's what they are right now.
Yeah.
It's quite a fall. You know, another thing about the NFL, though, is the rebuild. You're right, 100%. I mean, that's the right word for it. They have a lot of rebuilding to do of this roster. They have tons of holes. But if you had one good offseason, you could be certainly a team that's in the playoff mix next year. I mean, in the NFL, if you're really bad for an extended period of time, then you are just really mismanaging things.
Well, and if your quarterback, if Levis continues to progress, that significantly accelerates a rebuild, right? I mean, it's what it is. Now, you know, I keep bringing this up as an example, and I probably should stop because it's a heck of a bar for Will Levis. But, like, you know, Joe Burrow gets drafted by Cincinnati. He goes through a tough rookie year, other than when they played the Titans. He made them look great that day.
Yeah.
He gets hurt, and the next year they draft Ja'Marr Chase. So with two first-round picks, Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, even though there were still a lot of holes on that Cincinnati roster, most notably the offensive line, which was atrocious, and the Titans saw that firsthand, they got those two guys along with T. Higgins as they drafted in the second round, and three draft picks changed their entire franchise. Like they got the quarterback, they got the star receiver, and they lucked out and got a second star receiver later in the draft, and they were in the Super Bowl. I'm not saying the Titans could do that. I'm just saying if you hit on the quarterback and you feel good about the quarterback, it accelerates everything else. And that's why the Will Levis part of this is so important the rest of the year.
I mean, he's going to be the story, you know. And so now he could be really good and they could keep screwing up and not making good choices around him, and then it won't matter because there's just a limitation there. Because that's the thing, you know, Burrow, even in that, like from the start, Burrow had, you know, has had weapons. You know what I mean? At least he's had that. Offensive line, big problem, not good, and they've done all kinds of stuff. But early on, it was very bad. But he had weapons.
Yeah,
and that's one thing that Levis really doesn't have right now. I mean, it's Hopkins, who's been great. I mean, I'm looking at like the Bengals. They had all those years of being like good with Marvin Lewis, you know, and. You know, then they kind of started to fade. He finally loses his job, and they go 6-10, and then they have a couple just brutal bottom of the barrel seasons: 2-14, 4-11-1, and then, like you said, you get to the Super Bowl the next year. The Texans are an example. There's a team that how long, you know, they had extenuating circumstances, like the Watson stuff was beyond, and all the Kassir. I mean, what's the guy that they brought in?
Jack something, wasn't it?
Easterby, right?
Yeah. Jack Easterby.
But, you know, so they had a long stretch of, like, pretty solid success under Bill O'Brien. You go 4-12, 4-13, 3-13-1. I mean, three seasons are all like that is
rough.
Yeah. I mean, that's Detroit Lions level stuff. But now here they are. They're 5-4, and they got a rookie of the year favorite at quarterback. And, again, he's been excellent. Also, they actually have done some building during this time of an offensive line, and you know, like they're not, their roster is better, in better shape than the Titans, but it kind of should be. Well, I don't know if it should be, but it should be on the comeback, right?
Yeah, on the mend
with the years they've had of trying to figure it out and having high picks and all that stuff. I mean, the Titans had the 2 year just complete bottom out. Right before this kind of era that's now kind of ending, that, you know, right before they drafted Derrick Henry and Kevin Byard and whatnot. You really should not have more than 2 years like that. So, and maybe the Titans are in for a painful year next year, but honestly, if they have a good offseason and they can just protect Levis, give him another good receiver, well, there's other stuff on defense too you got to do. But like they could be certainly could like be to decent. Me an 8-9 win team next
yeah,
year.
Yeah, like they could be decent. That's the thing though. I brought up the Cincinnati part of this, and it's such an outlier because you found the stud quarterback, but you also found the stud receiver. And then another stud receiver. And the chances of doing that are pretty low.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard enough right now for the Titans to find one stud receiver in the draft, much less two to go along with the quarterback, and fill every other need that you have on your roster right now.
Right.
So that's why I continue really well. To bring it up as like a bad example because I'm like, well, it happened. I don't know how replicable the Cincinnati situation is to everybody else.
Yeah, no, it's different for sure. And Burrow himself I mean, look, I think Will Levis has a chance to be really good.
He's a long way away from being Burrow.
Burrow might end up being one of those all-timers
right.
By the time he's done. So, Texter says, I think if we're in rebuild mode, it starts with the head coach. Well, I would not agree with that as a rule. I mean, it just depends on who your coach, you know, who your coach is, how you feel about your coach. But, you know, part of that is Levis. Part of that conversation is Levis, so – you know, if you don't think Mike Vrabel and his offensive coaches are going to maximize Will Levis, then it's something you have to ask yourself. But you also, to me, have to look at Levis right now where he is. It seems like continuity might be good for him.
So we don't think Vrabel's scared of a rebuild coming is what we've gotten to the bottom of here.
Well, I mean, I think he'll probably never use that word. You know, that's probably a dirty word to him. Like right now, I totally believe him when he says – I don't care about the record. Can't talk about the record. Is there a chance to? How do you win a game this week? I mean, you have 17 weeks like that in your year, you know, where that's got to be your sole focus. But yeah, like he understands what he's dealing with. I mean, I thought the other day he sort of, without naming anyone, he kind of, you know, acknowledged like the mistake of Dillard, you know, the offseason of sort of like you're trying to figure out if someone just needs an opportunity and you know all that. I mean, he knows the situation with this roster. So if you want to be a coach of this league for a long time, like you're gonna have these.
I agree. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Ben McKee from Go Vols 24/7. We'll get his thoughts on Tennessee as they prepare for the Georgia Bulldogs coming into Neyland Stadium on Saturday. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Tennessee hosting Georgia at home on Neyland Stadium on Saturday. And to help us talk about that and all things Vols, we go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Ben McKee from GoVols 24/7. Ben, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are y'all doing?
Doing really well. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, obviously, Ben, very disappointing for Tennessee last Saturday. They get throttled by Missouri. What's your gauge on the temperature of this fan base right now with, you know, barring a couple of upsets, one in Tennessee's favor, one not in Tennessee's favor, in all likelihood, you're probably looking at 8-4 to close out the season here. What's kind of the temperature of the fan base right now based on what you've seen?
Yeah, it's not as great as it once was for Josh Heupel. I don't think there are many waiting in the extreme deep end of the pool. Obviously, you're going to have a couple of knuckleheads in each fan base that go to the extreme, especially on social media. But I think most fans are disappointed with how this season has played out up until this point, and it really does feel like they would have to beat number one Georgia this weekend in order to make that feeling go away as you get into the off season. I think just disappointment is the right word. I don't think people are ready to jump off of Josh Heupel's boat or anything along those lines. I think they still appreciate what Josh Heupel has done up until this point, especially last season. And at the end of the day, even if you go 8-4 to end the regular season, which it it looks like the most likely outcome, as you mentioned, you're still going to have a chance to win a ninth football game in a bowl game. So 8-9 wins, that's still a really, really solid season. But I feel if that's how the season ends up playing out, that there will be a tone of disappointment and frustration over the course of the offseason just because of how Tennessee got to those 8 or 9 wins. I mean, they haven't really beaten a good football team this year. I mean, you give them credit for beating the teams that they have and staying ahead of some of the teams that are in the league. But South Carolina is a bad football team. Virginia is a bad football team. Texas A&M just fired its coach. Kentucky, I even think for the Mark Stoops era, is very overrated this season. And then UConn, Austin Peay, TSA, those teams kind of speak for themselves. And then Vandy is the worst team in the SEC. So they haven't really beaten anybody of significance, all while squandering a golden opportunity against a bad Florida team or a Florida team that isn't typically what Florida is. And it also squandered an opportunity in Tuscaloosa. Alabama looks like it's peaking at the right time, but still hard to think that Tennessee shouldn't have won that game based off of how that game was transpiring going into the half.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, Ben, I think this is clearly a transitional year offensively, right? Like, I think Nico is going to have an opportunity to bring it back to a little bit more of what it looked like before. You know, the offensive line, they got to have some young guys come on. The receiving core, it's been tough, but I think that'll be fine, right? I mean, I don't know. You tell me. I feel like offensively it's just going to be kind of a little bit of an outlier year, a bridge year with Joe Milton at QB. But defense is what I'm interested in terms of is there a positive trajectory? Because obviously there at times I think so, right? I mean, and obviously you got young guys like Pierce out there who I think has been playing at All-American level at times. But then, you like the other day, you know, and obviously road home is very different for this team. I do wonder, like, where do you think things are going? The recruiting's going well. Like, what's the ceiling? What's the trajectory for this defense as they move forward?
I'm really optimistic about the future of the defense, Joe. And that's assuming that they develop guys the way that they need to and the way that they should. You mentioned it. They've been recruiting at a really, you said well, I think they've been recruiting at a really high level on both sides of the football, but especially on the defensive side. There's some things that you can question, obviously, or nitpick. I feel like you can always do that, but they've recruited multiple positions really, really well on that side of the football. And it's about getting those guys developed because as frustrating as this season has been with this particular team, I do think there's also another storyline on the other hand of this season also being a reminder of just how much work had to be done and still has to be done in terms of constructing this roster because it was just that bad when Josh Heupel took over. And you had some all-time type of players, generational players for Tennessee last year, NFL talents that maybe masked a lot of those roster deficiencies. And then when your best players this year aren't as good as your best players last year, those deficiencies rear their ugly head more than they have, more than they did in year two. So I do think there's an element of this roster still being constructed. And I think you're seeing that most on the defensive side of the football. I felt Saturday you really felt the loss of Keenan Peely as much as any game this season, the veteran linebacker from BYU that got hurt in the opener against Virginia. And as a result, you've had to play a ton of young linebackers next to Aaron Beasley. And I feel like the last couple of games, and it doesn't bode well going into Georgia, they've just been picked on. And then you're also kind of in a weird transition in the secondary where you have a ton of veterans, but you also have some young, exciting prospects and trying to balance, I guess, trust on the field with veteran guys, but also understanding that the athleticism and potential is higher with the younger guys and trying to strike a nice balance there. And that kind of goes with the offense in some positions as well. But you know, Nico's on the offensive side, so that makes you more excited for the offense. But I think top to bottom, I think I'm actually more optimistic about the defensive side and its future than the offensive side. and again, top to bottom, because obviously Nico is Nico, five-star quarterback, and that speaks for itself. But I have questions about wide receiver depth going forward and kind of how they operate there. Right now, it doesn't seem like there's a young offensive lineman that they've brought in and developed ready to take over for some of these veterans. Whereas on the defensive side, I do think there are more guys at each level that you can kind of point to and say, okay, when he's able to get a year under his belt and have more experience and be a little more developed, like, he's going to be a solid football player for Tennessee. I think there's more of those guys on defense than there are on offense right now.
Ben McKee with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Ben, what do you think of this matchup for Tennessee against Georgia? It is at home, and Tennessee's defense has been much better at home than it has been on the road. But to your point, they've not really played anybody of significant competition at home to this point. So, overall, what do you make of this matchup? What are Tennessee's chances to hang in there in the fourth quarter and have a chance to pull this off on Saturday, in your mind?
Well, I don't think they're that great based off of how Tennessee played this past weekend. I don't think it would be the most surprising upset of all time. I wouldn't be totally shocked, but I'm certainly not going to pick Tennessee to win this football game. There's just too many areas of this football team that I don't necessarily trust, starting with the quarterback position. I think Joe's played fairly well the last couple of weeks, and I thought he played well on Saturday until that fourth quarter when things started spiraling out of control for the entire team. But it's just, I don't know that he has that it factor to go beat a team like Georgia that has won what feels like a million football games in a row and kind of feels like they're well on their way to winning a third straight national championship. I just don't know that Joe Milton is the quarterback that can orchestrate that type of win. And then the running game has been great for most of the year, but it has its moments. And based off of how they played against Missouri, doesn't inspire confidence that they can get it back going against the Bulldogs. And you hear Eli Drinkwitz after the game say that a GA kind of identified something with Tennessee's run game that he saw on film, and they kind of changed their defense for it, and it obviously worked. And if a GA for Missouri sees that on tape, then you know Kirby Smart and his staff is going to see that as well. Their secondary is really strong, and this Tennessee receiver room continues to become even thinner. The offensive line's been a little inconsistent, and this will be the ultimate test for them. And then defensively, boy, does Georgia have a lot of playmakers to watch out for. And Carson Beck, I think, is pretty underrated. I don't know enough people are giving him credit for what he's been able to do this season, especially as the season has progressed. So not a lot of matchups that inspire confidence. I think the only matchup that does inspire a little confidence is the simple fact that it's a home game for Tennessee, and Tennessee has been much different at home under Josh Heupel than it has been on the road.
You know what I got to ask Ben about, right?
Yes, I do.
Even though Ben vastly overrates Kohl Center. All right, so I'm looking at Dalton Kincaid. I'm looking at SEC Player of the Year candidate, first round pick candidate out of nowhere, and this is a national championship contender. Call me crazy.
Oh boy,
am I crazy?
I completely agree with you. I think Tennessee's the real deal. I think Dalton Kincaid is the real deal, and. That's the good news for Tennessee fans, is that Dalton Kincaid plays basketball tonight. It may be against Wofford, but Dalton Kincaid plays basketball tonight, and you know he's going to do some brilliant things on the court and give them hope and optimism. But, no, I completely agree with you. We could talk for 30 minutes on why I think Tennessee is a national title contender, and it's just they have a lot of versatility. They have a lot of depth. They have a lot of experience. They have a lot of talent. I think they have the right mindset. I think they have great team chemistry. I know people want to talk about Rick Barnes, but they do have great coaching at the end of the day. Rick Barnes does know what he's doing. And so I think they do have all the pieces to make a deep run. Now, I think it'll be more interesting to revisit this statement and kind of question at the end of this month after they play in the Maui Invitational next week against Syracuse, and then they'll either play Purdue or Gonzaga, and then they'll play a third game as well. And then the following week they go to North Carolina, so it'll be a fun topic to revisit at the end of the month. But Dalton Kincaid's the real deal. The first round projections have begun, as your coworkers at The Athletic have slotted him in there, Joe. And
they got Tennessee number one, too, by the way.
They do. They do. And for all those reasons that I just mentioned about this Tennessee basketball team, I'm not going to sit here and predict a national championship. You do need some luck to fall your way in the NCAA tournament. But they certainly have all the pieces to a national title contender. There is no doubt about that.
Well, Ben, really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Looking forward to the game on Saturday. Going to be interesting to see how Tennessee responds in that one. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, appreciate y'all having me on. Y'all have a great week.
You as well. Ben McKee from GoVols 24/7, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. Are you going to sit here today on November 14th and call a national title for Tennessee in basketball?
I'm not calling it. But, I mean, I'm with Ben. I could spend the next couple hours talking about this team if you want.
I'm sure.
You let me know.
I'm sure we could. We might get there at some point based on the way things are going right now.
Yeah.
Tennessee and Georgia coming up on Saturday. We'll take your thoughts on that. Tennessee fans, how you feeling about this team? How you feeling about this season? 615-737-1025, our phone number. More on that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight for Vanderbilt men's basketball. The Commodores go up against UNC Greensboro at Memorial Gym with tip-off at 7 o'clock. Pre-game beginning at 6:30. Coverage also available on 94.9 The Fan, the 94.9 The Fan app, and at 94.9thefan.com. Also, make sure you tune in later this morning at 8:45 for Preds Pick to Click for your opportunity to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Pick to Click brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Thanks to Ben McKee from GoVols 24/7 for being with us in the last segment. Joe, what is your temperature of the Tennessee fan base right now? Right now, they're 7-3. Two more games left. If things go the most likely route, we're probably looking at a loss against Georgia and a win against Vanderbilt, and that would be 8-4 this year. Now, you could change that on Saturday with a major upset against Georgia, and if you win that game, then however you're feeling about the season right now, I think probably totally changes if you're a Tennessee fan. But I don't consider that to be very likely. Coming up on Saturday at Neyland Stadium, I don't consider it to be very likely that Vanderbilt pulls off some shocking upset the week after that either against the Vols. So 8-4, if I had to assign a percentage to it right now, I'm going 95%. That's probably what it is, 8-4. So if you're a Tennessee fan, how are you feeling about that at the end of the year, especially based on the way that it's gone down? Because I do agree with Ben. You look at the wins that Tennessee has this year, their best win is Texas A&M. And Texas A&M is not very good. Like, Tennessee doesn't have a good win this year. I mean, Texas A&M's okay. They just fired their coach. Like they have not beaten a good team so far this year, which that part of it would be very disappointing if I'm Tennessee. And then you got the loss to Florida, who's not very good. You kind of let Alabama off the hook in the second half. But, you know, it is Alabama, so you got to factor that in. And then you just get curb stomped by Missouri. How overall, if you're a Tennessee fan, are you feeling about the way this season has transpired?
Well, I think it's okay to be disappointed, but not, you know, I guess overly disappointed. I'm with you. Listen, what is Texas A&M? They're 6-4. I mean, I still think that was like that's a decent win. I mean, that's a talented team. You know, they fired their coach. That whole thing is it's just a bleep show. That's a decent team. Kentucky is a decent team. You beat them on the road. I mean, those two wins are fine. You know, you could have lost both those games. You won them. I think everything else is an obvious win, including Vanderbilt will be too. I think last week, just getting smoked like that, you know, changes things a little bit too, just to get dominated by Missouri the way they ultimately did. Like, even if they – and I do think, you know, they have a chance Saturday. I think they have a chance. You know, you got to – I mean, the crowd should be great, I think. I mean, the crowd will be great.
Crowd will be good.
Yeah. And they just they have a different level of energy in that stadium. You know, even if you were to win that, that would be a huge win, obviously, just to be able to beat that team. But it's also like, how did you get blown up by Missouri? You know what I mean? It would also kind of – and basically, your reward at this point, even if you did, is like you get to go to like the Citrus Bowl.
It would change everything though. If they win Saturday, it totally changes the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
from the fan base. Sure. Yeah, I mean, well, look, it's a program win either way, you know. Just like Alabama was a program win. I mean, they stumbled last year and they didn't carry it through, and that should have been a playoff team last year, but it's still, that was a program win against Alabama. It would be a program win against Georgia. So, I agree. But the overall season, it's a transitional season, and I think that was kind of a realistic view of this going in. I think, do we both pick 9-3?
I think so.
Yeah.
I may have gone 10-2.
Did you?
In retrospect. Okay. I think I went 10-2.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I went 9-3, and, you know, it's it's interesting listening to Ben McKee talk about, like, both sides of the ball, because I still personally have more confidence in the offense moving forward just because it's what Josh Heupel does. And I just think this year, some of those young receivers are going to – they continue to recruit at receiver. You got to have some guys emerge.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think they'll have guys emerge. It is a fair point with him on the offensive line, though. That's got to – like, they've been saving themselves in the portal there, but that's got to get better.
Yeah.
You know, the recruiting and development of offensive linemen has to get better. I think Nico could be absolutely special. You know, so when you talk about this season, I can't help but look forward to and basically look at this as, if your bridge season is 8-4, you know, that's fine. Are you going to keep progressing? You got to be in the mix to be in a 12-team playoff next year. It's that simple. I'm very interested in the defense because I agree. It looks like the talent keeps coming in, and at times I really like what I see, and then at times I really don't like what I see. And I still have the question of what is the ceiling defensively for this program with the way that they do things?
Well, they got to figure out – I mean, this is a pretty long sample size at this point of – whatever happens to them when they go on the road, where they just, their defense totally evaporates. And it's not purely a talent thing. Like the talent, I mean, look, they got run on for 300 yards the other day, and the strength of their defense is up front, and they just got totally bowled over by a Missouri offensive line, by the way, that's good. They haven't been that good all year taking on the front. Like they ran against Georgia. It's a good front. It's a good scheme, all those things. So, I won't take anything away from Missouri. Tennessee should not get run on for 300 yards by anybody. And they got absolutely punked on Saturday that way. So there's something going on for whatever reason on the road where they continue to just have total collapses out there. And it's been – they did it last year against South Carolina. We can get into the Harbaugh thing if you want to. I don't know if it was purely that, but – they got to get that part of it figured out as they move forward. And I don't know what it is. Like, if I'm Heupel, one of the things that, you know, they're out of road games this year. They get the last two at home, and then it's a bowl game and a neutral site. So you're not going to have another true SEC road game until next season. One of the things in the offseason is, all right, let's look at our process a little bit and figure out why things continue to just unravel totally on the road, because it's a big problem.
Yeah.
And if you don't get that fixed, you're not going to have a chance.
Right. Yeah, no, for sure. You got to be better. And there was that really good first half at Alabama. So you dealt with – and that was actually a great environment that day.
Yeah.
I mean, Alabama fans were actually into that game. And so they've put it on film. Like, you can do it. But then, of course, you know, you come right out in the second half and it's, what, two plays, you know, two, three plays, boom, boom, they score and you just dissolve. Yeah. And I do think that some of the way this team has kind of – faded and dissolved, I think it's a little bit of a leadership thing.
Agreed.
Like, who's the leader on defense? Like, Aaron Beasley is a heck of a player. You know, I mean, I do think, like, Amari Thomas is that kind of guy.
Yep.
But I almost feel like on a defense, like, you need a back seven leader who's a strong leader, and it's maybe that needs to get a little bit better. They need to be better in secondary. I mean, just pure personnel talent, they have to be better in the secondary, and that's got to be young guys again developing. Offensive linemen, defensive backs, how are they going to do with developing them and getting to the point where, because, you know, look, they, as bad as it was, like Ben said, when they took over for Pruitt, they actually did inherit some very talented players, such as Darnell Wright.
Yep.
You know, and so you got to be able to prove that you can recruit, identify, evaluate, and develop at those two spots in particular.
615-737-1025. By the way, Georgia favored by 10.5 on Saturday, according to the FanDuel Sportsbook.
It's an interesting.
It's about where I thought.
Yeah, that's about right. I do think, look, you know, it's some of it is how the game starts and all that stuff, but I think Tennessee's got more of a chance than some people will probably give them this week.
Coming up next, what about the Preds? How concerned are you about the start of the season for the Preds? They are 5-9 right now and got a bunch of home games coming up. Need to get some points or they're going to fall even further out of the race than they already are. We'll get into all of that. Take your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.